أعوذ بالله من الشيطان اللعين الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد والثناء لله رب العالمين، ثم الصلاة والسلام على سيدنا ونبينا وحبيب قلوبنا أبي القاسم المصطفى محمد. وعلى آل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين المكرمين المنتجبين، لا سيما بقية الله في العالمين، روحي وأرواح العالمين لتراب مقدمه الفداء، ولعنة الله على أعدائهم أجمعين من الآن إلى قيام يوم الدين. اللهم كل وليك الحجة ابن الحسن صلواتك عليه وعلى آبائه في هذه الساعة وفي كل ساعة، وليا وحافظا وقائدا وناصرا ودليلا وعينا، حتى تسكنه أرضك طوعا وتمتعه فيها طويلا. For the hastening and the return of our Imam, please recite the salawat.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
One of the serious issues that we are dealing with in our communities over here in the West especially, but I think it's a issue, I can call it a problem, that exists throughout the Muslim Ummah. And I think I can see plenty of people that are witnesses to this. And that is the issue of marriage. I know plenty of people, anywhere I go, that different ages, starting from 18, 19, all the way up to 28, 9, 30, 30-something, of people struggling with the issue of marriage. Marriage is a very important institution in Islam. One of the aspects of marriage which is very important is maintaining the marriage. And what happens after marriage that leads to divorce. These two discussions and concepts, marriage and divorce, are very closely linked. It's very unfortunate that in our communities out here, divorce has become very, very common. On one hand, you're dealing with youth who are trying to get married. On the other hand, you're dealing with youth who, after a few months, a year, a couple of years, they're seeking a way out of that marriage. Okay. And usually the sisters trying to find a way to get out of the marriage that they were, or they accepted and agreed with. Now, if you remember, we said that we're trying to, inshallah, in starting with tonight until Tuesday night, which is the last night that we'll be here with you, inshallah, we want to do a little bit of tafsir and talk about some of the verses of the Holy Quran. Going through the surahs, the names of the surahs, obviously we're going to have to choose a shorter surah of the Holy Quran. Going through the names, one name of the surah attracted my attention because of this, and it's a topic that I think I haven't discussed much, and that is Surah At-Talaq. The surah that the name is divorce. I don't know if you paid attention or not, but we don't have a surah that's called marriage in the Holy Quran. But we do have a surah that's called Talaq, divorce. It's a very important discussion. We need to get a few things right about it, inshallah, trying to benefit from this surah. Of course, that's not the only subject that exists in this surah. There's a couple of other things, a couple of other discussions that inshallah we'll try to cover in this surah. We can categorize the verses and the discussions that we'll have in this surah into three. One of them, one of those discussions, is obviously what the name of the surah is, Talaq. Then there's a verse, or I should say a couple of verses, that talk about the concept of taqwa in a very interesting way. That it's pretty much the only time you find, the only place you find it discussed in this way is this surah of the Holy Quran. You don't find it mentioned in this way anywhere else. And the last part of that is where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, towards the end of the surah, starts to warn people about the punishments that he has. And we'll have to relate all three subjects, inshallah. So recite a salawat, please. I'll give an overview of the surah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this surah up to verse 7 talks about the practical laws of talaq. Before getting into that, we need to know the Holy Quran does not go over the details of ahkam usually. That's not the purpose of this book. If you aren't looking for the details of the ahkam, they're usually mentioned in hadith, not in the Holy Quran. You get the main principles in the Holy Quran. Because if you want to have all the details of the ahkam in the Holy Quran, it would be this huge book. I don't know if has any of you seen Wasa'il al-Shia or Bihar al-Anwar? Wasa'il al-Shia, basically, most of it is ahkam. And the most concise print is about 20 volumes. Okay, the Quran is supposed to be a book of guidance that we can read. This book, we can read. We mentioned somewhere, reminds me, about reciting the Holy Quran from beginning to end. Khatmul Quran is something, I don't know how accustomed we are to that out here. Okay. When you read the ahadith, I said in a session, you know, we have some scary hadith about recitation of the Holy Quran. Because, I mean, it's difficult to even say it, much less practice it. It says to try to recite the Holy Quran in the month of Ramadan, every 3-4 days, finish one round of the recitation of the Holy Quran and start all over again. So that'll be about 10 rounds or a little less. If you do every 3 days, that'll be approximately 10 rounds. That's how we're supposed to recite the Holy Quran. If it was 20 volumes, how long would it take to recite this? It wouldn't be a book for people to look into constantly. It gives us the main elements of practice, but also a lot of other things as well. Our beliefs. Tawheed, that is even focused even more than the ahkam are. About maybe a third or even less of the verses of the Holy Quran deal with ahkam. A lot more of it deals with the more fundamental principles, the aqa'id, and some of it deals with akhlaq and how we are supposed to treat one another and the ethics. Now, the verses of this surah, when they are discussing the concept of talaq, they deal with the practical laws related to it. We have the concept of talaq, this discussion, in some of the other verses of the Holy Quran. This surah discusses some of those practical laws. But the way it mentions it, it also gives us an idea of part of the philosophy, why some of these rulings are the way they are. Okay, and that's something we're going to try to benefit from, inshallah. So up to verse 7, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about these practical laws, with the exception of verse 3, which is the verse that talks about taqwa in that very special way that we mentioned. That we'll see what that actually means. Verse 3 and the beginning of, or the end of verse 2. Then from verse 7 onwards, or actually from verse 8 onwards, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about punishment. And we'll see the relationship between the verses of talaq and the concept of punishment that is mentioned there towards the end. Now the verses themselves, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم يا أيها النبي إذا طلقتم النساء فطلقوهن لعدتهن وأحصوا العدة واتقوا الله ربكم لا تخرجوهن من بيوتهن ولا يخرجن إلا أن يأتين بفاحشة مبينة وتلك حدود الله ومن يتعد حدود الله فقد ظلم نفسه لا تدري لعل الله يحدث بعد ذلك أمرا. O Prophet, the address starts with Ya Ayyuhan Nabi. It's interesting. I didn't find a very precise clue of why